those of its hosts and participants, management of WNRI.
The time for NRI arrives, the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 13.1 FM.
He's a special kind.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
And Sister Lynn, radio talk show host, joining you this Monday. This is Donna Perry. I'm getting through the third hour. We're here at WNRI. Thankfully, Jeff wandering around the studio, is that's how I'm getting through. No, I've been having a great show and glad to be joining you, sitting in for John on this Monday. We have had just a wide variety of discussions. I've really enjoyed it today, and I hope you're enjoying it out there here at 13. We're now going to bring in our final guest, and he's a regular to the program. He really just... his insight and a lot of writing and blogs and something I always keep track of in my day. And we're very happy to be able to spend some quality a few. Now we will talk to our friend Justin Katz, who is Ocean State Current and part of the Rhode Island Center for Mike Stenhouse, keeps things going. Justin, you are there for us. Have Justin coming up on the line. We are waiting on Justin Katz. Okay, well, it wouldn't be a full show if we didn't have a little hiccup here and there this Monday. And like I say, spoke to Judge Robert Flanders, who, if you've not been following, he is running for U.S. Senate, and had a very, very good talk with him. He is out on that. Hear a lot more about that in the months to come as the campaign heats up. We are waiting to hear from our friend Justin Katz, who is of the Ocean State Current and Rhode Island Center Freedom Prosperity. He's going to be on the line with us in just a minute. In the happy, if someone had so far, we are at 80-949-9674. Jeff is giving me the high sign. I think we now, the aforementioned Justin Katz. You there, Justin?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry, Justin, we... had a little back and forth getting you, and thank you for joining me. I know you join John at this hour, on most Mondays. Justin, we've been kind of all over the board. Like I said, we spoke with Bob Flanders a short time ago. I know you campaign and some other folks we've been talking to this morning. Right now, I'd like to get federal staff with Bob Flanders, looking at some of the political headlines coming up this morning and today. Justin, if you caught the item on, and I think, problem going on with the state, and now the feds want a few answers. And this is the contingency fund, and tapping that for various reasons. Do you want to give us a little observation on what you make of that? That was in the out there this morning.
The governors kind of need some kind of fund they can use for, or any executive, something they can use for items that don't necessarily go into a particular,
yep.
But it is something that, because it's, there's so much discretion, they kind of have to be more, under the this governor, I mean, I haven't looked at prior governors, sometimes it's been, I'm not sure what they've spent it on, but when you're spending it on personnel, you know, to grease an out-of-state to run a department,
I saw that
kind of
yeah.
thing, when that adds up, you start to wonder why not in a personnel line. And other, so if a charity support them, but on a local, what we're doing, fund thousands and thousands of dollars to charities out of her contingency fund.
Right.
What is she getting for it as for charities? I'm very involved with charity, but start to raise questions of how those funds are being used. And when they're used for things like in this case, video equipment, you start to think maybe it's not so much a slush fund, and that's not good.
Well, it's of what was... what's been reported today, that kind of caught my eye too, and I thought there's nothing. Providence is a very well regarded nonprofit, and they're training low income young adults, and they're trying to get people into training program, internship, and maybe onto a job, etc. Great, great mission. But as curious is when you kind of look into this, you see, I would say some very prominent and maybe deep. Pocketed people on the nation. It's chaired nationally by the gentleman who is the kind of the top guy, senior managing director of Providence Equity Partners, which is certainly you know, very, very prominent firm, and also former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, for instance, I guess, prominent national Democrat. And like you say, the fact that, you know, the state is spending money out of this, the point is they're spending money, like you say, out of that contingency fund, which, so that's not something that was necessarily going to know that, except the reporters did a little digging and, you know, pulled it up.
Right, and that's not alarming. The most interesting and important part of this whole thing is it's this rundown of what was out of this account, little pockets of hidden funds throughout. You know, it starts to become possibly keep track of it all. So it's good that you've got journalists at the center on OceanStateCurrent.com, and
yeah.
John does it, and other reporters do it. But it's almost like you look in every dark corner of government. I guess it helps that they know at any given moment, or somebody might call them and say, I want the numbers for this account. I guess that helps. But there are just so many places to hide it. And so for interns, yeah. The state probably it works out well to have paid interns working in some positions
right.
where it's possible. But why out of a contingency fund? It almost starts to feel like it's a way for the, and especially when it's aligned with other charities.
Yeah, that it's not, it's kind of, it's like you say, it's a little bit under the radar. It's not a...
Right, well, and it feels like it's something under the governor's control, right? If interns, through the normal process of interns in state government, that's one special dispensation from her contingency fund.
Yeah.
That's another thing. And it allows her, in theory, people such as the owners of Providence Equity and say, well, internships out of my contingency
yeah,
fund.
Yeah.
And that's not so good. And that kind of, the real issue is that this jibes, John and I have been talking in Rhode Island for that. There's a lot that looks like that. It looks like it to promote her, like the thing with the fundraising agreement with the Providence Democrat.
You know, right.
Sure, she didn't directly hire her office, but it starts to look, you know, she has some leverage, even three steps up over this guy, and he's with the Providence Democrat committee. So and it all contributes to an ongoing story.
Also gets to this issue, and this ties into a couple. First of all, it ties into why federal sort of alarm. Rhode Island executes its 9-1. It goes to this issue. To me, is not really a budgeting system. I don't know if they do it ever. Did the scoops, you know, the scooping money, kind of moving it around where it's designated for a fund. Well, no, gee, we need to grab a few million here. We're going to do that, right? And I think, and that's how they get into trouble. And so now, lo and behold, the federal government seems very concerned with how, despite what they're trying to a little bit sweep it under the rug, and say, no, we're just going to keep everyone safe. Well, that's a really nice tagline, but you know what I mean? Like, if you have people with 911 and you have untrained, not adequate staff, and people have been reporting, they're not making this up, they've been reported, they've been put on hold, you have kind of precious moments passing, and people are making this phone call. I mean, something is not jiving right. And some of that could go to funding, and it could be like moving funds that are supposed to be going to that, and then they do all this scoops, which is a budgetary practice that goes on.
What it really starts to do, and we've reached this point clearly in Rhode Island, it all starts to feel like a big scam. So you get your cell phone bill, and there's a certain amount that's sales tax. All right, well, that's the tax, and then there's the E911 line, and that's a separate item. And after a while, after enough of these things where the resource recovery tipping fees or whatever
right.
they're scooping from, you start to realize that this is all just a tax. Yeah, maybe on paper it's supposed to go to this, but it's like the gas tax. It's supposed to go to
right,
this or that
right.
or the other
the roads,
thing.
Yeah.
And when I looked into a few years back when the Center for Freedom and Prosperity was talking about getting rid of the sales tax, I looked into the history of that. And the original rationale is, oh, the municipalities are having trouble affording their bills and teachers are underpaid. So it almost sounded like they were setting it up like a dedicated fund for municipal funding. Well, that's long out the window, and we're still having all these funding crises at the municipal level. So eventually you start to think, well, maybe we should just have one tax, and we put it in one place, it goes in one fund, and that way at least we're being honest about it. We don't have this sense that every little nickel and dime that they can take from anywhere is actually just to fund whatever they want to fund. And what you end up seeing is they don't fund the things, roads, bridges, 911.
Right. What the whole thing was designating. Yeah.
Things you need.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, Seb, there's another sort of unclear, and there is a scoop that is being bantied about that my organization, I'm with the Rhode Island Society of CPAs, and my day job, we're all part of the Business Coalition. And I will tell you, and we're going to do that right after the break, and stay right with us, Justin. We're going to take a short break, and I will tell you another kind of scoop around that we are hearing about makes a lot of the business owners very uncomfortable. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're on with Justin Katz, and we will be right back.
This is John DePietro. You know, the heating season is here. Let JKL Engineering design and install a natural gas, high-efficiency carrier Infinity system. Energy efficient, quiet, more affordable than you think. You're saying no gas? Well, guess what? No problem. Let JKL Engineering design and install a high-efficiency Infinity heat pump system. Includes ductless splits. Heats in the winter, cools in the summer. These units are so efficient, it can reduce your oil bill by as much as, ready, 90%. Highest rebates in the market. They also do new installation replacement of high-efficiency gas boilers. JKL, Carrier Factory, authorized dealer, licensed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. You know, for 50 years, JKL's reputation, second to none, especially for technical expertise and customer satisfaction. JKL, an approved National Grid VPI installer. JKL, Navient certified. Estimates are free. Financing is available for both residential and commercial. Call JKL Engineering today, 351-7600, 401-351-7600. JKL Engineering. Remember, at JKL, they do it right the first time. 351-7600 for JKL Engineering. West Fountain Auto Body. Did someone hit your car? Maybe a drunk driver or someone texting and driving? People don't pay attention. Call West Fountain Auto Body. If you're in an accident, call West Fountain, 272-3340. It's Kenny. It's Patricia. It's your vehicle. But you got to call them first. Call West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. Located 400 West Fountain Street in Providence, right behind the Providence Public Safety Complex. Remember, with West Fountain, they're going to work for you, not the insurance company. Call West Fountain Auto Body. Did someone hit your car? Were you in an accident, small dent, or maybe a nearly totaled vehicle? With West Fountain Automotive Painting Refinishing, it's truly an art. They'll handle everything, and they're going to work for you, not the insurance company. If you were in an accident, small dent, maybe a nearly totaled vehicle, call West Fountain Auto Body. Call them first, 272-3340, West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. It's Kenny and Patricia at West Fountain. Remember, Paul Massey Chevrolet, Rhode Island's number one Chevrolet dealer, truly has something for everyone and every budget, all one priced at the lowest available price. Up front, no hassles, no haggling. Whether you're in the market for under $10,000 certified pre-owned vehicle, new sport, maybe utility. How about a new truck from Paul Massey, or sports car, or the electric vehicle? 260 miles to the charge. Paul Massey, the big guy, has them all at the year's best one prices. Can't be matched. That's why Paul Massey sells more Chevrolets in Rhode Island than any other dealer. At Paul Massey Chevrolet, Route 44, Taunton Avenue in East Providence, Team Wellington, they'll help you out. You get the best selection, service, lowest one price on every vehicle on the lot. Stop in and see our friend Bobby Massey. He's holding court at Paul Massey Buick GMC South, right there at the gateway to the beaches, Route 1, South Kingstown, right there across from the tower. That's where I bring my Buick LaCrosse. But remember, folks, whether it's Paul Massey Chevrolet or Paul Massey Buick GMC, always online at paulmassey.com. Remember our friends at Grow It Green. Listen, if you're going to grow it green. Southern New England's indoor garden supply shop. They carry the industry's top name brand. equipment, sun leaves, hydro farm, sunlight. They specialize soils, nutrients, lighting, ventilation, and most experience. Grow it green. They supply quality products and reliable information to hobby gardeners and MMJ patients. They're open 7 days a week, located Grow It Green, 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. You can call them at 508-883-GROW, 508-883-4769. If you're going to grow it green. 20 years experience, Southern New England's only five-star rated indoor growing supply store. And with good reason. Competitive pricing, all major brands, lighting brands like Gavit, Phantom, nutrient brands, Mills, Remos, Fox Farm. Friendly, educated staff able to assist with all aspects of your grow. Consultations are available and they're open 7 days a week. Grow it green. 508-883-GROW. Open 7 days a week. 122 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. Remember, if you're going to grow it green with our friends at Grow It Green.
Welcome back at 124 on the John DePietro. Our friend Justin Katz, who is editor of Ocean State Current and part of the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. Those guys do great work over there. And Justin, right before the break, I want to just pick up on one other item, then we'll move on to another topic. We were talking about, you know, this kind of non-transparent use of a, like, say, a contingency fund of the governor's, and one, this practice of sort of scooping things from funds. You know, we're going to go over here because we're running short over here, and then, you know, funds are not going where they're designated. I wanted to just quickly get your view on something that's kind of newly emerged just in the past few weeks that I'm aware of. Like I said, the Society of CPAs, where I work over there. They're in communications, and we're part of the Rhode Island Business Coalition. And as a group, we have sent testimony letters to, you know, the House Finance Committee, because what we're hearing is they have run out of funds for something that's a good program. It's Real Jobs Rhode Island. Now, it is run, really, between the Governor's Workforce Board, if you follow this, and the DLT. So they began this really good training program that people all agree is the mission is good. And they originally, of course, launched with federal funding. Well, of course, they've now plowed through all the federal funding. I think we've kind of seen this kind of movie before, right? And so now the feds, it's not going to really get renewed. We, as far as we understand, the DLT is seeking that they could tap the interest that sits on the top of, you know, right now, what is a healthy unemployment insurance fund of the state. And something to the tune of about $7 million a year. They want to tap that to fund Real Jobs RI. We kind of, you know, had a briefing on this. And then, you know, our group as an organization sent kind of a letter respectfully saying, well, no, we disagree, and that's not really a good idea. And Justin, I wanted to bring your thoughts into this, because we all remember it was not that many years back. Rhode Island, if I remember correctly, the unemployment insurance fund was depleted, right, during the downturn. Remember that? And the state was, like, borrowing, or and people were having trouble really getting, you know, their unemployment insurance. So,
right. Well, yeah. They're really, I think that's a two problematic factors we have, especially in Rhode Island. We've seen this urge, to to get government involved in things.
Yeah.
And if there's money available to start that and go away, even if it's just, hey, I'll give you $10 billion of Medicaid away, we jump right in, even though the $10 is going away the next year.
Yeah.
And that's leverage to ask people for the money to do things. And that's the other problem we see with unemployment insurance and other things the state takes money. 911 is another great example.
Yeah.
Where the incentive is to take risks with the things that people really care about, because then you can always go, oh well, our roads are horrible, how about another multi-million, $100-200 million bond of debt to pay for the roads, which you thought you were being, but you let it go and pay to have it rethink. All the money we put into education in Rhode Island to let the buildings kind of fall apart here in East Bay.
Yeah.
And then you can always go, either the federal government will bail you out, or you have a big excuse to go to taxpayers and say, or like with the unemployment fund, to say, hey, businesses, we need you to kick in some more.
Right.
That's always the incentive. And it's what I've called the government plantation. Because what they do is they're sort of cultivating us to have people who are they offer services to. That's their real product, is the services they're offering. Yeah. And that gives them a pretense to either go to the federal government or tax other people in Rhode Island who aren't on this program.
And we all, you know, very, very good points. And we all know, okay, we have these multiple, whether it is departments, you know, entities. Okay, so you have the governor's workforce board. So they are charged with, you know, all this workforce development. Then you have this longstanding, huge Department of Labor and Training. And they, over the years, and they, you know, they have worker training programs, blah, blah, blah. And so our point from the business community, we said, so you are not, it's not possible that within your big budget that you can't find, you know, existing funding for the whatever they want, $7 million a year for this, which by all accounts, it's a very important and it's an innovative program, Real Jobs RI. No, again, no one is arguing with the mission of it. That is absolutely true. You have got to have this kind of, and it offers sort of as young as like a high school senior, you know, it's like these apprenticeships and introducing kids that maybe they're not college bound, and but they're going to go more for advanced, all kinds of things. They could be advanced manufacturing, and they could be, you know, more complex computer skill training. All that stuff we know is needed, right? And we have to produce workers who are, you know, up to skill on that. So no question with the mission of it. But what our argument was, it is a dangerous road to go down. So you're going to tap and off the skim of the unemployment insurance fund, like we say, which we know years ago, it was depleted. You know, if something tells me with Rhode Island and the way the economy is, you know, something that swings up and down. Do we think Rhode Island could never hit a downturn again? I wouldn't put my money on that, right? So. You know, this is just, and again, it's not the end of the world, but this is another issue to your point where either, so when this federal funding, which there was, you know, they kind of get overextended on that, right? So it's like, oh, we have a pile of federal funding and, oh, let's bring in the consultants and, oh, this one, they get, you know, you're getting your retainer and you're getting your retainer and all that stuff. And you know, before you know it, there went the federal money. But you have different entities, and it just, I think it's a very red flag thing when you hear, oh, we're just going to take the insurance, the interest, let's say, that sits in what took a long time to rebuild. And by the way, again, just to back up the business community, people for, you know, business got hit with a lot of higher fees, you know, to then build that thing back up. So that is just something that's kind of not been out there that much. There was only the first hearing on this about a week or two ago. Just want to throw that in the mix.
Yeah, well, it's another, you know, illustration of the attitude of quick, spend it. Because either the federal government will give you more, or you'll have some excuse to tax other people, or you'll have an excuse to take money out of some other fund somewhere that you can risk. And the incentive is all for them to spend quickly and get it spent. And if the worst comes worst, you end the program and all your cronies got their take, and then you just have to go find the other scam, the next scam, for that. But that's the real problematic attitude we have in the state, is this idea that we have to quickly spend everything because people might find out what is done, or the money might dry up, and you want to get, everybody has to get theirs, right? That's the unofficial slogan, is the I got my
money. Yeah, state. Yeah. And
so it's definitely in that line.
And it absolutely is. I want to switch gears a little bit. And again, there was a lot of good reporting, and I'll give credit to the political scene this morning, and, you know, they popped out a lot of good stuff. The governor continues to have what would seem to be, have a lot of national people with a national imprint are clearly being brought into her reelection campaign. Her campaign manager This gentleman, John Blair, he's managed, you know, campaigns for re-election in several other states, including Connecticut. And it looks like as far away, Illinois, and even out, I guess that he managed a congressional race in New Mexico. But he's more recently, I guess, was kind of the political director for Every Town for Gun Safety, which is a, you know, very big gun control advocacy organization. What do you make of that? What do you, when you see that that's who she's brought in to be her campaign manager?
Well, I think there are two parts to it. The first is that she's got a lot of money, and yeah. You can only do so much to win over a state of a million people that generally doesn't like you. You know, if you spend all your money on advertisements to get people to know you better and they already don't like you, they may like you even less, seeing you even more. So you spend your money on other things, like the consultants who might be able to do some magic tricks with deploying people or with messaging, yeah, or some other, this or that or the other thing. Or you also can spend it on, as John and I have been talking about, maybe you pay some people to become to be able to sign notary public so they can sign people's mail ballots, and then they just go around actively looking for votes to sign off on. So she's got a lot of money, and that's one thing you can do, yeah, is
absolutely
bring in this national,
yeah,
talent.
Right.
And, you know, that can come with risks because you bring in people from out of state who have this sort of national swagger. They can make mistakes. They can have hubris. They can overplay their hand, yeah, and other people might catch on. And when the governor's narrative, the governor's image is kind of, you know, aloof and elitist, that can cause problems. And I think the other thing that is has been obvious with this governor is that her eyes are national.
Yeah.
I've told this story before. When she was first elected to treasurer, I was on Rhode Island Public Radio with their roundtable thing with the woman who at the time was running Emily's List, which is a pro-abortion,
yeah,
group.
Right.
And she was just, you could tell that the insiders among, you know, the elite progressives were just so ecstatic that they had gotten elected this. She's Catholic. Her name ends in a vowel. You know, they were just so excited. And with the fundraising, which a large portion of her fundraising is out of state,
yeah,
and she's always taking trips with who knows where, you know, Playboy Mansion, wherever she goes to get money, that you can tell that the people nationally and the news media nationally, the word has gone out. This is someone we're promoting for the national stage.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think those, yeah, are the two things. And she's got a ton of money, a lot of it out of state, to spend on this campaign. You might as well bring in people who might be wizards to pull something out of a hat. And not only that, but getting to know them and how they work and how their knowledge of national races starts to prep her for whatever her next step is supposed to be.
We are staying on with you, Justin Katz. We, when we come back, we will note apparently a young lady from the Hillary Clinton for President operation is now coming in as the press secretary. So we'll dive into that and see, you know, that's the Brooklyn operation coming here. So we're going to take another short, quick break. We appreciate, Justin, if you hold over with us, and we're going to get through our final segment. We will be right back.
How is your drinking water? Please don't tell me you're relying on the tap. You don't have to. Not with Water Filter Company. They're located in North Kingstown. Call Steve and Alice at Water Filter Company at 401-294-2400. Serving Rhode Island and also Massachusetts. It's Water Filter Company. I had a water filter installed in our home. You notice the difference right away. So many communities, you don't even know the chemicals that are in your drinking water. Think of the rusted pipes. Some people have wooden pipes. And what do they say? Oh, don't worry. Acceptable levels of contamination. What does that mean? Call Water Filter Company today for a free consultation. Located right there, Route 4, North Kingstown, Steve and Alice, Water Filter Company. Call them for a free consultation, 294-2400. We had a water filter installed in our home. You notice a difference right away. And remember, bottled water, it's an unregulated industry. P.T. Barnum would love bottled water. Instead, call Water Filter Company, 294-2400, 294-2400, for clean-tasting drinking water for you and your family. It's Water Filter Company. Mega Disposal. Call them today, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-MEGA, Mega Disposal, local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They have been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You own a small business? Call Mega, all your trash recycling collection services. And they have various sizes, state cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. Let's get a dumpster in the driveway. They even have a swing door. Provide easy loading of materials, Mega, M-E-G-A. Smaller containers for local businesses or shops. Emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. You own a small business? Call Mega, all your trash recycling collection services. 866-420-MEGA. You know, you see the trucks and staff collecting household trash, recycling items. Many local communities. Look for those Mega trucks in North Providence, Pawtucket, North Smithfield. Mega has dumpster service. Mega. Various sizes. Estate cleanouts. Major construction jobs. Let's get a dumpster in the driveway with Mega. Clean it out. 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-MEGA, 6342, 866-420-6342. Spring cleaning begins with Mega Disposal. K&R Auto Salvage. Call K&R Auto Salvage today, 353-9200. Large facility offering used car parts. K&R Auto Salvage, located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence, right off of Mineral Spring Avenue. K&R, they buy junk cars, auto wrecks. Remember, this is a family business. Close to 30 years serving their customers. Karen and her family, they are just terrific. It's K&R Wholesale Used Auto Parts. Guaranteed quality, and they'll pay you cash for your junk car. Foreign American Auto and Truck Parts. K&R, they offer 80% off retail prices. Access to nationwide inventory. Call K&R Auto Salvage today. All major car truck parts, and they'll pay the highest price for that junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage. Call Karen, 353-9200. 353-9200. K&R, your choice for wholesale used auto parts. Located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence, right off of Mineral Spring Avenue. Go with the leader. Go with the best. It's K&R Auto Salvage.
And we are back at 1:40. This is Donna Perry sitting in at WNRI on the John DePietro Show. John is away for this Monday and been glad to join you. We are continuing our discussion with our friend Justin Katz from the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. And he is the editor of a lot of great output comes from that Ocean State Current. So, Justin, we're just going to wrap up on this bigger issue of all the staff come the campaign machine, as it was, coming together for the governor's reelection campaign. And it's probably fitting, is kind of the machine, but she's brought in, from some reporting we saw in the Providence Journal today, that she's brought in an Emily Samsel, who was at Hillary Clinton's Big Brooklyn operation, the Hillary Clinton for President campaign. What do you...
Well, I think in combination with other campaign staffers who were specifically in Barack Obama's Chicago office, campaigning, we're talking about people who come from kind of bare-knuckle political scenes.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was referencing earlier, that it's possible they could make mistakes. I mean, Rhode Island's a small state. You know, mm-hmm. everybody seems to know everybody. And some of those, you have to do the bare-knuckle politics a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So there's some potential for that to be problematic. But they may be able to keep that stuff under wraps and just try to pull out something. Like, somehow some of her campaign staffers came over from Connecticut, and somehow they got Dan Malloy reelected. I think that's what they're counting on. They're counting on bringing together the mixture of people who know politics at different levels to try to make something happen. I mean, it obviously worked for Malloy. It worked for Barack Obama, clearly. Not so well for Hillary Clinton. But we'll see if they're able to manage it. They've got, from named in the Providence Journal article, something like 30% are actually Rhode Islanders of the people who were named and profiled in that article. So we'll see if that's enough to keep them on track, actually responding to the needs of voters in Rhode Island.
Right.
That hasn't been this governor's strong suit. Whenever there's a controversy or something, whether it's the UHIP giving out welfare benefits and having problems with the computer there, or even the cooler and warmer, where you've got a video with footage from out of the state in Iceland.
Yeah.
When it comes to actually doing things in Rhode Island, that hasn't been really the strong suit. The strong suit is PR.
Well, Rhode Islanders, you know, famously, I mean, let's face it, I think Rhode Island has been ranked the top state of where people, like, do not move around or move out of the state. So, you know, they kind of do kind of, you know, not always favor, you know, they're from somewhere else. You know, they kind of have that sort of attitude going on, and they can tell you in a second if you say Pawtucket instead of Pawtucket or something. I mean, you know, very, very local state. And I think, you know, you're right. Like, I think that it can be very, I think it's a very hard state to come in. I will say this, no matter how, and these are really seasoned people, but it can be a very difficult state, you know, to come in. It can be very provincial, and it's certainly people are very about their local community, and you come in and, you know, and you just don't know a lot of the nuances, and they're also, you know, you have local political figures can be very easily slighted, right? If they're not sort of understood to be, you know, they're in the perch they have in their local community. So, you know, I think all those things matter. I think there's no question, if you were the National Democratic Party, I don't think it would be a mystery why they would be cultivating, you know, someone like her profile. You know, we know where there's a lot of stuff is smoke and mirrors, but you know what I mean? Like, if you look at her on the surface, you could see she's young, you know, she's an Italian name, and she's in the Northeast, and she's, you know, seems certainly very energetic, and she's traveling around a lot, and she's certainly, you know, kind of laying out the groundwork for certainly the national stage. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But as this reelection campaign for here, you know, in Rhode Island comes together, it's going to be curious to see if those folks, like you say, can really understand how to connect the dots and, you know, be reelected here. But I will, you know, money is money, and she's got a ton of it, and it's going to keep rolling in.
Right, and what also raises questions is some of them involved with this, whom she just hired, come from. One of them is worked for a gun control special interest, the Every Town group.
Yeah.
Another one did something to do with climate change, and that was his big experience, was with an organization doing that, organizing marches. So a lot of that, it won't play as your identity in Rhode Island. And I don't know if it would play as at the state level in any small to medium-sized state, because you're talking more local issues at the state level for governor. Maybe California, you get away with talking about climate change and gun control.
Right.
But as we saw a couple weeks ago, with thousands of people going to the state house to protest gun control on behalf of the Second Amendment and gun ownership, that makes it a lot more difficult if that's
he's going to be
trying to accomplish. And
top
she kind of has
yeah.
to win this.
Yeah, I do think it's an odd pick for that. Now, this is the campaign manager, you know, this guy, John Blair, is from what we're seeing reported, you know, and he was clearly the political director for that group, Every Town for Gun Safety. So I'm just saying, I think that's part of the you know, the national profile, that these are the pieces she's trying to assemble for her profile of, you know, where is she on these kind of, these are huge issues, obviously, in the country, but we'll see, right?
Right. Well, but the challenge for her is that she kind of has to win the governorship this time around, unless she's going to do a surprise announcement in a few months and say she's going to challenge the White House for U.S. Senate or something like that.
I don't think so.
She's got to win this round. So bringing the national people on could be premature if she's not focused on winning Rhode Island first.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but like you say, I think she looks formidable from the standpoint of the organization and the money side, and those are very big pieces. Obviously, they seem very confident on those points. I want to ask you quickly, as our time moves through, Justin, just a couple of things going on nationally. You know, I mentioned earlier in the show, President Trump is in New Hampshire, in our, you know, kind of in our backyard today, and they're kind of launching the opioid addiction sort of, you know, 10-point plan they've got or whatever to have a new campaign on that. It's a huge issue. It's obviously, sadly, been almost the worst in New Hampshire, which is very stunning and almost kind of puzzling. And it's certainly bad in our region. Just from, you know, a bigger picture, and not trying to, you know, poke holes at anybody on this question, but do you think that Trump, number one, I don't think this is a, you know, a reach to say, maybe needs a reset right now. And do you think that he could becoming a little bit vulnerable on the point of the public saying, wow, you know, he's great on a stage, but can he manage? Is he's not a manager? Or, you know, with all this sort of shuffling the deck and the firing, what do you make of where he's at right now?
Oh, it's dangerous to speculate because he breaks all the rules. I don't think much of any of this hurts him because it was all, as I say, it was all sort of priced in with his election. I mean, he made his name largely on a television show with the tagline "You're fired." So, you know, in a reality show culture, I think people would almost be disappointed if he weren't firing people. Or with the porn star he may have had some affair with some 12 years ago, people kind of, they're not going to be shocked. And he was elected despite all that. So the fact that you can now say, this is the one, everybody, I think, will kind of politically, a lot of people just say, well, we knew there was one, that she's the one, doesn't necessarily change that. So I'm not sure he's vulnerable in that regard. I think the tell is going to be whether some of the policies he's implemented, perhaps on the encouragement of more seasoned conservative and Republican political hands in Washington, stuff like reducing regulations and cutting taxes, if that really kicks in and helps people and gets the economy going, I don't think people are going to care about the charades. I mean, even his supporters will say he was doing all the crazy stuff on purpose to distract the media or something like that, but I don't think, generally people won't care. And that could help on issues like the opioid crisis, because in my view, a lot of it has to do, it's economic and cultural, especially among men, because the numbers of opioid overdoses are a lot higher among men. And so if his broader policies, tax reform and regulatory reform, if those kick in and start helping people, all of this other stuff will be for show, because that's what will get people straightened out.
I'm going to take a slightly different view. I think at some point you have to deliver. I think at some point, though, people understand what, infrastructure, if that's a, you know, fancy word that means, you know, we have aging airports and we have collapsing, you know, highways. And I'm not talking about the new thing in Florida, that terrible tragedy, but, you know, the interstate highways or, you know, bad airports and all this other stuff. At some point, I think some of that has to be done. And I don't care if you're Donald Trump or Jesus Christ himself. Like, you know, you have to have some level of organization. You have to have planning to actually get things done, you know, and I am not in the camp of, you know, stomp on everything they do and, oh, he's like the devil. I'm not in that camp at all. But we will see. I just think there's, you know, people also truly will care if they don't see things going forward. And I do worry that completely, constantly, I feel... I've been pretty much an adult Republican my whole life. I don't like undermining the FBI. I don't like seeing a lot of that. I feel that's dangerous stuff to say to the wider public, that, you know, the American law enforcement is like, oh, they're like liars and they're this and that. You know, I don't know. That's just my view.
I mean, in fairness, we're coming off of an 8-year presidency in which the IRS targeted conservative groups, and it looks like I mean, in this, there's a lot of shady stuff going on in the FBI right now. This McCabe guy never should have been in office because his wife got tons of money from political operatives in the Democrat Party when she was running in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe was very close to the Clintons. So he was a terrible choice to begin with.
Yeah,
he
stands out. I'll give you that. I think I'm just talking wider.
Stroke, the guy who was having an affair with an FBI lawyer, and yeah. he was involved in all of this stuff, and they were friends with a judge who's on the FISA court who may have been making important decisions in that regard. I mean, I have a hard time blaming the president for this when it's clearly at this point a corrupt organization in my view. Mm-hmm. And then you add in other things like the shooting in Florida where the FBI was warned, the local police were warned. This isn't Donald Trump's doing, that all of these police, law enforcement organizations are proving themselves to be problematic. And so, you know, could he be handling himself better? I tend to advise people to take the high road, especially when they're in the right.
Yeah.
That's not his style, and that's disagreeable about him. But I think the FBI deserves a lot of the flames it's currently taking.
Hmm. Well, it will be continued. We're going to have to hold it there. You've been great to go right through the hour. And as always, Justin. So Justin Katz, just always a font of knowledge and a great writer, too, if you want to follow him. And Ocean State Current and Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. Justin, we are out of time. You've been great. Thank you for joining me as I sit in for Big Brother John today. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, John. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. And
did you lose power through the last storm? If you had Propane Plus, Tim Johnson and his family, folks, they're the best. Propane, leading full-service provider of propane services to Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. You can depend on Propane Plus, location in Rehoboth and a location in East Greenwich. In Massachusetts, call Propane Plus at 508-252-3359. In Rhode Island, call them at 885-4209. Always online at propaneplus.com. If natural gas is not available for your home, propane is a great solution. Provides heat, hot water, cooking, and standby power. You're never going to lose power again. Piped in, just like natural gas. And that tank, it can be buried in your backyard. No one will know it's there, or it could be above ground. No need to waste your time with the big utility company. Call Propane Plus, 885-4209, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Always online at propaneplus.com. Now is the time to upgrade your cell phone service. You want to rely on our friend Sal, his five locations with Metro PCS. And right now, the best unlimited deal with Sal and his five locations of Metro PCS, because you get two lines, unlimited LTE data for just $80. That's right, two lines, unlimited LTE data, $80, plus two free awesome smartphones, 32 gigs of memory when you switch with Sal and Metro PCS. Five great locations, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston, right next door to the Rite Aid. You also have Sal location number two, 989 Manton Avenue in Providence, right next to the CVS. 1852 Smith Street in North Providence. 1503 Atwood Avenue in Johnston, right next to Johnston Town Hall. And also Sal has location number five, 1553 Plainfield Pike in Johnston. And you can always call our friend Sal. Five locations, Metro PCS. You want to deal with Sal and his team. If you want to upgrade your cell phone, you break your cell phone, maybe it's old, need new data, call, more data, 332-5051, 332-5051. It's our friend Sal with Metro PCS. What's that? The doctor said that you need to have some blood work done. If your doctor wants you to have lab tests done, but you wonder, does my health plan have a deductible? Can I choose which lab to get my blood work done? The next time you need testing to avoid the high cost of hospitals, visit Eastside Clinical Laboratory. Eastside Clinical Lab offers the highest quality, lowest cost. They accept all insurances, 50 locations. There's a location near you. Why pay more? For more information, answers to your questions, and a location near you, visit labchoice.org. Eastside Clinical Lab. Remember, there's Rhode Island's only full-service, in-network, independent laboratory, and they've been taking care of Rhode Islanders for over 65 years. Eastside Lab, dedicated to keeping more money in your pocket when meeting your medical testing needs. You don't have to compromise quality for cost. Accurate, timely testing results delivered directly to your doctor. For more information, visit labchoice.org. Find a lab close to you. Eastside Lab, they're dedicated. Remember, they are absolutely dedicated to saving you money. This portion of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Whether it's lunch or dinner, the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. They're known for their famous salad bar, always stocked, fresh vegetables and more. Enjoy this unique rustic setting, lunch or dinner. It's the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln.
And where did the 3 hours go? It went so fast. I really enjoyed being here. Donna Perry sitting in for John DePietro on this Monday. Everyone here has been great at WNRI, and Jeff and the crew getting me through. It's just been a really great 3 hours, and I've had some great guests. Thanks to everybody who called in and helped me get through the show. And we had a lot of fun and a lot of good discussions. So we hope you all have a great Monday, and catch you again. Thanks, bye.